birthday, so I know you want to ride out. Even if we only go to my house, sit more easy as we sit upon my couch. Feels good, but I know you want to cry out. You say you want passion, I think you found it. Get ready for action, don't be astounded. We switch in positions, you feel surrounded.
Tell me where you want your kids. How's that? Feeling all about that one? What's up, everybody? Axe to Grind, the hardcore podcast, the only one that matters, the fucking top of the tops, the top of the top, top tier, of the toppity tippity top of the
top
tallest fucking tree in the fucking forest.
You know that Da Baby picture you saw? That's us.
That's us. Da Baby energy. I'm Patrick.
I'm Bob.
I'm the kidney shift. No, I'm Tom. Mm. I didn't see the picture. I just know that
it's big.
Well, we talked about it.
Yeah, it's big.
And then Pat Flynn talked about you talking about it, which is pretty great.
It's big. Oh, yeah, it's true.
On that live
Was
thing.
He a fan?
Of the baby's actual unit or of us talking about it?
All of the above.
Yeah, why not?
Well, he was saying something about penises or whatever, and Pat's like, I'm a little concerned because I just listened to you talking about his penis, but the baby's penis for a while. Like, he had just listened to that episode of Pat.
There's a lot of dong talk.
A lot of dong.
Spent 2020, the year of the dong.
The YMCA is shameless, my dude. Nobody uses a towel.
How about you? You going in with that?
I use a towel.
When in Rome, bro, they're trying to signal to you. Just let it
just
free.
Just fucking let it hang, man.
No big deal.
I mean, look, I'm not ashamed. It just seems like a polite thing. Like
nobody needs to see your fucking hairy butthole.
That's
in your
what I'm
dick.
Saying. Like, I don't care. Oh, by the way, sorry, this is a divert. I think I know the answer. Mm-hmm. Have either of you had your buttholes waxed?
No.
No.
Okay. Me neither. But I had a conversation at a family dinner with a relative.
What are you?
Who? Mm-hmm. I had no idea that this is a thing that many men do.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And to have this conversation with this dude who, when I describe him as a guy who's going to be working with his hands for the rest of his life, that's not an insult. It just is what it is.
Yes.
It's a dude that I didn't think was getting his asshole waxed. Asshole waxed. Every time.
Good for him.
You seen the bleach one? Life.
No, yes, I have. I mean, not on a dude, but
really wild.
Yeah, it's a weird look.
Have you seen it?
No.
What would you think a bleached asshole looks like?
Abnormally white?
No. Perfectly skin color.
Perfectly skin color.
So it looks like, it looks like a doll. It's creepy.
Yeah, it's not. Yeah, okay.
It's right, fine.
Moving on.
Yeah, not mad. Not mad, but also like live your life.
No, I mean, to be honest.
Sometimes you just want an asshole to look like an asshole. It's fine.
They look cool, but it's also like there's something. It's a little weird.
Yes. Unnatural.
Yeah, because, I don't know, purple.
Let's talk about a natural fit for Axe to Grind, our sponsors.
Let's do it. We got who today, Tom?
We have two.
Two.
We're going to start off with Death Wish Inc.
And are you picking favorites of your own? Is that what's going on here?
Okay. Pick some favorites.
Here's a go-to. We've talked about it probably on this podcast over the last 2 years or so.
Hundreds of hours, yes.
It takes, 10,000 hours to get great at a thing?
Yes.
It's only taken us like 600.
Yeah, correct.
I'm going to go. They just did recently a reissue of Witness by Modern Life is War. One of my favorite records of that era.
You were so open to that era in a way that I wasn't.
Like, legitimately, Modern Life is War at Johnson Avenue.
Yep. Legendary in New York.
In the big room.
Yep.
Big apartment.
Yep.
Legitimately one of...
Big loft.
Top five shows I've ever seen. It was fucking incredible.
I've heard people say that.
Incredible.
Tom, you know why I respect you?
I don't know.
Because you give credit where credit is due, instead of being
sour,
a bitter. Like, how many established? You were established at the time that record came out.
Yes.
You had put
100%.
You had put out records.
I hadn't. Yeah, that was. I released my last record before that record came out.
It would have been easy for you to not appreciate what the kids were doing.
Yeah. But I love it.
I know.
So I don't give a shit. But like, and they're like, I think that record's great. I think it still holds up.
I had no appreciation for it when it came out. Zero.
Do you like it now?
More.
It sounds like a Midwest emo record with a dude yelling over it.
You know how I compare everything that's slightly slow to Outspoken?
Yeah.
I compare this to House.
I don't hear it.
It's like when you're mid-tempo, when your mid-tempo is on the slower end of mid-tempo, I just go, oh, sounds like Outspoken. It doesn't, but that's my frame of reference
right.
for kind of lack of a better word.
I feel like this record
plotting the tempo.
This record launched a
sound,
a sound
for sure
to me.
For sure,
I think that's yeah.
Defeater, etc. does not exist
for sure. This was a boom industry. What year was this? Do you know?
03?
Yeah, I think it was 03.
Yeah.
So right the year after this,
mm-hmm.
everybody sounded like this. You could tour the United States and run into fucking 30 of these.
For the next 5 years, the sound is a defined sound. And then, by the way, I'll take it a step further and say, if it wasn't for this record, this sound, that whole Touche Amore, La Dispute world 100%. Doesn't launch.
Yep. Let's get Jeremy on the show. He would say that.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And he's a huge admirer of this stuff.
I would love to have him on the show, by the way, if we can make that happen.
Anytime he comes.
You know a guy?
I know a guy.
I mean, he comes through all the time. Pat just doesn't support him.
We've texted about it. Yeah.
Pat doesn't go. Yeah.
All right.
So go to deathwishinc.com, enter the promo code
X the Grind.
And Tom, what do you want to do with it?
Want to spill it out.
Very cool. And what else you got for us today?
We're going to Closed Casket. We're going to Troy, New York. Neighboring Cahoes.
Yes, sure.
Troy, New York on Troy, New York against the world. Is that the Stigmata thing?
Troy against the fucking world.
Yeah, dude.
North Troy, South Troy.
United.
Troy against the fucking world.
I mean,
Uncle Sam is just loving it.
Yeah. Birthplace of Uncle Sam. You know that, Tom.
Like the actual, like,
yeah, Uncle Sam.
No shit, I didn't know that.
Yeah,
violent
drunk.
Have you ever? Yes. Have you watched?
Nothing says Troy like violent drunk.
I mean, makes sense. Totally unrelated. Before I say this, while we're in Troy, before we get to Dusty Cloudin's house, have you watched the Riley's Attic?
Oh yeah, they're
YouTube?
Great. They're fantastic.
Amazing.
They're fantastic.
No,
so it's Bob Riley from Stigmata.
Oh, okay.
Who has the most insane record collection you'll ever see?
He's like. In hardcore punk, he's top flight collector. He's got stuff
and has like random shit
and stuff I don't care about at all, but stuff I've never seen before.
Yes, most people haven't seen before.
Yeah, so it's pretty impressive.
How do you spell Riley?
R-I-L-E-Y. Dude, there's probably about 4 or 5 episodes. It's part and parcel of that like New York Harker thing that Drew Stone did. It is so much fun. He's got so much stuff, and he's so joyous.
Yep, that's
when
what
he's
makes
talking
it
about that's it, cool. And he's like, "I got this. This is one of one." Like all this sort of stuff.
Yep,
and like he has like Mickey Mantle baseballs.
Oh,
he's got
cool.
fucking random shit.
But it's also great. They're never long stories, but they're also great stories where he'll say, "I got this outside of this show."
Right. He'll be like, you know, here's the Can't Close My Eyes record. He's like, you know, Ray was selling them outside the show on Lark Street. I bought two of them.
Yep.
Or like super, and he seems incredibly endearing.
Yeah.
Stigmata having, you know, a legendary kind of status of being like fucking ass beaters.
Yeah. No, he's a sweetheart.
Sean, very nice dude. Anytime I've ever interacted with him.
Sean, the Big City, One Big Crowd record, good comp LP. Used to have this. It's good.
So while we're in Troy, Bob Riley probably has some of these records. He definitely has this one that I'm going to talk about in the attic.
Closed Casket.
Closed Casket Activities. I'm going to go off the beaten path a little bit. A record that I rather enjoyed that I feel like got a little bit of a short shrift. Maybe because it was a live record. I'm going Twitching Tongues, World War Live.
Oh.
Ooh.
Here's what's weird. It did get short shrift. I didn't know that because I thought everybody in my life was talking about it.
So much fun.
Yes. I like it better than some of the other actual releases.
Spoiler alert. I'm going to pull back the curtain, even though it's online. It's not really. I'm not breaking
it. It's a fake live, right?
It's a fake live record.
Yeah.
It's like those Descendants records.
Yeah.
Yep.
They recorded it. In Taylor's space.
Love it.
Fun as hell.
Love it.
And like they have like the super, like, you know, like people.
Yep.
It's fucking awesome. It's right after In Love There Is No Law. All the hits. They sound great. Sean Taggart did the artwork, which I'm sure was a huge thing for those dudes to have. It's still in print.
Everything about it's cool.
And it's fucking great. It's a great idea.
I urge people that might not even love Twitching Tongues. This might be the Twitching Tongues record that you connect with the most.
I think it's a good intro record to the band.
It is.
Yeah, that's a good point. Huh.
Really fun, really cool, and just by you know, it's a good record to have.
Yeah,
you're gonna want to go to closedcasketactivities.com, enter the promo code
X Grind,
and you're gonna wanna
spell it out,
and you're gonna check this out while I do that. Boom! Look at that. We got some fan art. We're gonna be posting
that.
I think it should. I think it is. Neither of us have beards. Or glasses, so.
Yeah.
Nice, right?
Thanks for, yeah.
Fan sent that in to us. I didn't draw it.
Yeah, can you send that to me?
I will. I'll send it. So
thank you to Fan Art.
Thank you for, like, you know, minimizing, like, you know, like when someone draws something, you're like, thanks for not making my nose as prominent as it is.
Yes.
Thanks for cutting down the gut.
Yo, do you guys know what a telephoto lens does to your face?
No, what?
Like, so when you pull focus, so I saw the strangest photo of me I've ever seen in my life, and I had to ask if it was digitally manipulated. It wasn't. A bunch of photographers hit me and were like, no, this is what happens when, basically it grabs your ears. It grabs your ears.
Ears.
And grabs the, so it makes your, it makes you look a little bit like potato facey, where your face looks smaller that on your head than it should be. Really odd.
Weird.
Interesting. Weird.
Yeah. I look hideous.
Hey, Bob.
Yeah.
What are we doing today?
We are doing some results of the hardcore census. So,
census taker.
Oh, so get off my fucking lawn.
Census taker.
I'm armed. Is it worth dying over?
Yo,
if you don't respond,
good.
You won't get enough people in the House of Representatives.
I don't care. I'm a militia member.
Yo, the pay's pretty good.
For what, being a census taker?
Yeah.
You're, I mean, taking your life in
your rough,
yeah,
life,
really,
right?
It's like working on like those like crabbing ships.
I would do that crabbing thing in a fucking heartbeat.
But it's mad fucking dangerous.
So you just said that Sean McNamara that sent that art.
That's correct.
Sean McNamara, very talented artist who does kind of outsider art, that, and he's now pivoted to digital. But so he does almost digital outsider art. If you don't know what I mean by that, it's amateurish in a self-embraced way.
Yes.
And it is, he does a great job
this
of it.
This is amazing.
He's very good.
Definitely me.
Very good. Yeah.
It's cool. Definitely me because I'm wearing this in one of the photos.
Yeah.
Like a gray sweater over a dress shirt, and this is fucking fantastic.
So Sean Mack, originally a Hudson guy.
Oh, nice.
Who moved to one of the Carolinas or something, mm-hmm. whatever. And down there is a side hustle. Like, so he'll paint churches, and not the inside of churches.
He paints houses.
He paints houses. He's a total assassin. He will, you know, like a church or whatever will say, we want to commemorate our building.
Sure.
Could you paint a picture of it? And his paintings are, they're not impressionistic, but they're not literal. So it's like a nice addition to your house. It looks designy in a way that, like, everybody should check his ass out. Yeah. He's very good at what he does.
Sean R. McNamara.
Yes.
So find it, spell it out.
My name is McNamara. I'm the leader of the band.
By now you'll have seen it posted on our story and probably on our main feed. So check it out.
Yeah.
Hardcore Census 2020 sent this out. Some fun questions. 1,182 responses.
Fuck, thank you, everybody.
Total time spent answering this, yes.
Across the board?
All the time that people spent. How much time?
Couldn't guess.
Let me do some math here. Hold on.
150 hours.
Okay.
Hold on. Let me do it.
Mm-hmm.
1,182.
Mm-hmm. We call this more than a guess, but that's okay. We'll allow it.
I just need to do the math.
Tom's the oldest dude in the room. He can do that.
I'm going to say 600 hours.
Whoa.
Not 600. 244, though.
Okay.
I gave everyone 30 minutes.
240. No, they didn't. Not that long. Average time was 12 and a half minutes.
Oh, I was going to say 11.
So 244 hours. Incredible. Very cool. Tons of fun information. Let's dive right in. And I printed it out.
I see, so it's this. Be fun. I'm really impressed.
Look, it has your name on the fucking,
I know,
screen.
Yeah. Whoa. These places are no joke.
Ballin'.
Yeah. So, how old are you? So, 44. We had the under 20, 21 to 25, 26 to 30, 31 to 35, 36 to 40, and 40 and up. Why don't we guess?
That hurt my feelings because I was in
there. I know. I thought about changing it, and then I forgot to change it. So, I apologize for
I'm
that.
I'm hurt. I'm triggered.
So, what was our largest group?
30.
With the 26 to 30 or 31 to 35?
31 to 35.
I'm going to say 31 to 35.
Incorrect. And it wasn't close. 26 to 30, 32%.
Really?
Of the respondents.
Right.
You know, we should make sure that's clear. The next highest is 21 to 25 at 23.9.
Interesting.
Wow. The next is 31 to 35, 21.1. 36 to 40, 11.3. 40 plus, 7.7.
Come on.
And under 20, 4%. But those answers were all really interesting. We'll get into those.
Interesting.
Okay, so that's, give it again. 1 and 2 are 26 to 30.
And 21 to 25. So the 20-year-olds are the biggest responders.
Okay, so the first one I totally believe. I wouldn't have guessed the second one. That's interesting.
Yeah, hey.
I would have thought that would have been third.
Where are you from? Again, guess where our biggest percentage was from.
I'm saying Northeast.
Mm-hmm. Northeast followed by the Mid-Atlantic, which were split, but most of the time when you think Northeast and Mid-Atlantic, you kind of group them together. Mid-Atlantic being PA, NJ, Delaware, Maryland, DC, Virginia, and West Virginia.
Right.
Northeast being New York, Connecticut, and then New England, you know, Massachusetts, Rhode Island, Maine, Vermont, Connecticut.
Yeah, you can break those up.
But if you put them together, that accounts for 20, about 39% of our respondents.
Shit.
15% from the West Coast, 10% from the Southeast, 11% from Midwest.
11% Midwest? What are you doing?
And other, a lot of European responses, yeah. 17% other.
Really?
So we had a lot of international responses. God, would have been our Brazil, second guys, largest category.
Thank you, everybody.
Southwest Mountain West, the second most there, at the very bottom. This is the one that I think we can all guess. What is the response to gender?
Oh, probably a lot of dudes. A
lot of dudes. Well, you want to get us the number?
God, I hope it's not over 70.
It's like 75.
89.7. No! What sausage party? Get this bullshit out of here.
89.7, man. 6.5% women, 3% made up the other answers, which were nah, gender variant or non-conforming, transgender woman or transgender man. So very small percentage of those. We had 16 nah, 22 gender variant non-conforming, 3 transgender woman, 2 transgender man.
God, I wish.
And 90% some fucking dumbass fucking dudes.
I wish I could. Yep. I wish I could fill out everything with nah.
Nah's a good answer, isn't it?
Nah, son.
All right, this one is really fun. Other than hardcore, what types of music do you listen to on a regular basis? And this was a multiple select all that apply.
Yes.
How many people identified listening to punk? Give me a percentage.
40.
60.
77%.
77 makes sense.
Yeah, boy. Indie.
90.
80.
69%.
What?
Also makes sense.
A lot of liars in this group. Go on.
Post-hardcore.
I bet there's a lot of people that have a feel there's a stink to post-hardcore.
I'm saying 35.
I'm going to say 35.
68.
Whoa.
No stink on post-hardcore. Good. I think people like it.
All right,
I think it just feels...
bullish.
Yeah, neutral enough. People. Alternative got a 67. How many people identified as...
Wait.
What?
More people said they listen to alternative music than indie music?
No, indie 69, oh, okay. Alt is 67. Okay, I bet there's a lot of alt. There's a lot of overlap between the indie, post-hardcore, and alt. It was 67, 68, 69.
Right.
How many people identified as listening to rap and hip-hop?
90.
On a regular basis?
90.
80.
66%.
What?
Yep. Low.
So a lot of those 89% men are white, obviously. The fucking
yes.
Hunkies.
We didn't do race because I was like, I don't know. It was a sort of the gender.
Listen to rap? Are you kidding me?
67% or 66% rap.
66%, that's crazy.
How many percent say they listen to metal?
That's not crazy because if it had hit 70, I would have been like, oh, okay. You know what I mean? So,
It's also on a regular basis. Like, sure. And know that sometimes these are things that swing. You know, some there's years where I listen to a lot of rap, and I haven't listened to a lot of rap in a few years. You know?
So metal, I would say 79.
I'll go lower. I'll go 65.
65.
Mm.
You picked up on the pattern, so I'm going to change it up now. How many people identified as listening to reggae?
It's a fucking 20.
23.
16.
Mm.
How many?
Got to expand that palette, folks.
Yeah, really.
How many identifies as listening to folk?
12%.
Yeah, 12.
28%.
What folk? I'm curious. Wow.
How many people identified listening to classic rock?
Oh. 47.
What? I'm going to go fucking 23.
40.
Really?
Yeah.
How many identified as listening to death metal?
12.
28.
41.
Fuck, what?
How many identified listening to country?
7.
30.
23%. So one out of four, basically. Definitely one out of five listen to country.
You know why? Because it's Kathy Muskrat.
That's what it is.
Yeah. Katie must be chilling. How many people identify listening to New Wave?
This one might have been confusing for people. I'm going to say it's high, though. I'm going to say 70.
14.
38.
I'm not even close.
Yeah.
Electronic.
Farther off.
Electronic. Everyone listens to Cold
13.
Cave. I'm going to say 48.
28. All right.
All right.
Shout out to the member of Cold Cave whose mother works with my mother.
Oh, that's really nice. How nice is that?
Yeah.
How sweet.
I'm curious if it's an Albany guy, and I just don't know.
You should reach out. I'm not that investigative. Through the mom might be your way into the cold cave.
Hive?
Yeah, the cavern. The cold
into
cavern.
The cold cave, yeah. Sure.
Maybe you can be like, hey, man, we're cool, right?
All right. These last two I did a little bit deeper research. How many people identified listening to Oi?
25.
18.
How many people identified listening to nu metal?
30.
43.
Very specific.
Oi, 15%.
Okay.
What did I say? I think I said 18.
You might have gotten closer than cool. me.
Yeah, I think nu metal, 13%.
Oh, wow.
Bullshit, y'all lying.
Yeah, you're full of shit.
I went in and broke it down by age bracket for nu metal.
Wow.
Under 20, 27% say they listen to nu metal. 21 to 25. And so when you go under 20, that means that you were born after 2000.
Okay, fucking with me now. Right. Go on.
God.
21 to 25, you were born late 90s, 26 to 30, early 90s, 31 to 35, late 80s, 36 to 40, early 80s, 40 plus in the 70s.
Yes.
21 to 25, 17% say they listen to nu metal.
Okay.
26 to 30, 14.5.
Mm.
31 to 35, 12.5.
Oh, I thought that would go up.
But it stayed. Did you see the drops?
Yeah.
There wasn't as much of a drop.
I figured there was a certain time that, like, this is what I grew up on.
Yes.
So this is what I
and
still
I think
fuck
that
with.
That 26 to 30 range yeah. is right there, and 31 to 35 is right there,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, but what? So what are we saying about the kids? Because the kids actually come post that.
I think that they identify it as a genre, and like there's no rock? Embarrassment to
is that
it.
Radio rock for them?
It's almost like, it's closer to classic rock.
That's
than
what I'm
radio
saying. Like, is it like the way that I would listen to Bad Company now?
Yeah.
With a smile on my face.
Can't probably. Get enough of your love.
Bad but, Company.
Is that Bad Company?
But.
Yeah, I think so.
Let's just say we're all going to listen to Golden Earring. Yes. The point is the
great song.
Golden Earring.
But Wonder. Love.
The yes. point is, point? As I would listen to that, is that how these kids listen to Korn?
Like is are you ready?
It's like the Fanatic, the dude putting on. Oh, I used to listen to this as a kid.
Back in the day, yeah. Yo. So if everybody that doesn't know what we're talking about, the motion picture of the Fanatic. Tom right. talked about it.
Tom, thank you for being up on that.
Thank
we,
you.
We
you
watched
up.
A little clip of it and
disturbing.
In the clip where he says he's introducing his son to Limp Bizkit via the radio, he says a thing that I actually thought was very self-aware on Fred Durst's part, who I should mention wrote the film in case you forgot.
And directed it.
He says, the character says, I used to listen to these guys back in the day. That's kind of almost more self-aware than you'd give credit because back in the day means I no longer listen to them.
Right.
I'll revisit
on a yearly basis.
Yes, it's a nostalgic thing. When it comes on the radio, I enjoy it. Which
right,
is,
and like Fred Durst has the wherewithal to acknowledge
yes,
that.
Yes. That's
right.
So
big ups, Fred Durst.
Fun
thanks
fact
for thanks for being a Patreon member.
A person I know knows him and says that he is actually shockingly self-aware.
I believe it. Actually, I believe.
How do you not be?
Yeah,
you know.
Well, he's far since past the fall. You know what I mean?
Yes.
So he knows.
He's settled in.
Yeah.
Yes.
31 to 35, 12.5%. 36 to 40, 7%. 40 plus, 3%.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's those percentages are just within that age range,
sure.
obviously. So, all right. I thought that was interesting. So it's decline from youngest to old.
Yeah.
So people under 20 don't think nu metal, there's almost no derogatory nature to it. Oi. This one threw me for a loop because in this,
the
I was like, okay,
old.
It's going to be inverted.
Yes.
It's going to be ascending to descending, descending to ascending. Under 20 who identified listening to Oi, guess the percentage.
Now you're going to shock me.
The
say-
overall was 15%.
All right.
Under 20.
12% of kids.
14.
21%. The you know, thing that I underrated, and we'll get to it later, when you're under 20, you have a lot of time to listen to a lot of music.
That's
and
true.
You're discovering new music.
Ultra.
Yeah. You know what? You can
and I
that
underrated
on?
That.
That number? Cox Bar.
Oh, those reunions have been big. Sure.
That's the only reason why everybody listens to Soy.
I also think that people under 20, you got to remember, there's kids who go through punk phases.
True.
And you're discovering
stuff.
What's
the Oi band now?
Oh, current? There's not. There's, it's right. non-existent. 21 to 25, 7%. The low. The lowest amount of people are 21 to 25-year-olds.
Okay.
I think no reverence for the working class at that age. 26 to 30, 13%. 31 to 35 and 36 to 40, 19%. 40 plus, guess the number.
30.
20.
37. We really should have done Price is Right on this the whole way. We should have. They will go from there. 37%. So Oi is lost, but hey, there might be a new generation coming along.
By the way, this is for the person that certainly has written us by now to tell us that the band I was thinking of a couple episodes ago was Vanilla Muffins. The Oi band from Basel, Switzerland, who has been
Basel,
who has been releasing stuff from 1991.
Great.
And I only know this because I had a roommate who was one of Japan's foremost collectors of Oi.
Oh, wow. That's awesome.
And he was deep into all this shit, and Vanilla Muffins, for whatever reason, was on the radar all the time at that time.
What do they rally against? Big Pharma? That's the only thing that's in Basel.
So. In Basel, yeah. And maybe.
Higgs, isn't in the Higgs boson?
Oh.
The Large Hadron Collider in...
Is
Basel?
That in Basel or is it in Geneva?
If they have a fucking song about the Higgs boson collider,
well, guess what?
I would love that.
Fucking Rule Them All already beat them to it.
An Oi song about that would thrill me.
Higgs. All right, we're all looking it up at the same time. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. It is in Geneva.
It is in Geneva. All right.
All right.
Jesus! Shout out to Vanilla Muffins, who is really putting out stuff until 2016.
I'd fuck with old Vanilla Muffin right now.
We ain't gonna stop, fuck you. How much time do you spend listening to music, any type, per week? So the options were 1 to 3 hours, 4 to 10, 10 to 20, or more than 20.
I don't have much faith. I'm gonna say most people are filling the 1 to 3.
Okay.
What's the middle one?
4 to 10 or 10 to 20?
I'm saying 10 to 20.
Wow.
10 to 20? 39.9%. What? So let's call it 40%. 1 to 3, the smallest by far, 3.4%.
Yeah.
You have to remember, we're a music podcast.
Right. And people have jobs that they commute to.
Oh, I never thought of jobs.
You haven't had a commute in a while. So
I haven't had a job in a while.
Yeah. No. Your commute is from your bedroom to the fucking garage.
4 to 10 and more than 20 are neck and neck at 28%, basically.
Do you know what I never consider?
More than 20, that's a lot.
So I find it very difficult to write when I'm listening to music. Mm-hmm. But there's many people who do Excel sheets while listening to music.
Absolutely.
All day. And that never occurred to me.
Yeah. So this is interesting. Overall, 10 plus hours of listening to music a week, which is, I think, by Gen Pop standards, is a lot.
A lot, for sure.
68%. That's cool.
Wow.
That's cool to see. Under 20, 82% of people who answer this who are under 20 listen to more than 10 hours a week. 21 to 25, 75,
yo,
68, 63, 61, and 40 plus, 60% of the respondents still were listening to 10 plus hours of music.
I'm heartwarmed.
Musicians, gather and be excited.
Yeah, wow. Maybe there's this future in this guitar music shit.
This one's pretty good.
I'd say they listen to guitar music.
How do you primarily listen to music? We know the answer. There was a streaming services paid or free. Everybody has paid. How much? How many people answered paid streaming service?
I'm the only person not paying anymore, huh?
You're paid, one of very few.
Paid streaming services, let's say 38%.
Say 48.
81%.
Holy paid. Fuck.
Remember, these are music really lovers, you. Dude. Yeah. MP3s, which is yours.
Yeah, I'm old.
Guess the percentage.
4.
12.
7.
Fuck.
Split the difference.
Fuck.
Not a lot of people, you know what? Not a lot of people on the free streaming services.
Really? So I'm like double bum.
Yeah, yeah. These are people who are paying for their music, buddy.
God bless.
Yeah. All right.
Must be nice.
How do you interact with hardcore as a music in subculture?
I carry a tape.
How many people who respond to this listen to the music? 99%. A couple who were like, nah, fuck that.
Yeah, that's great.
Small percentage. The
11 people said, nah, don't listen to the music. I like that. What percentage put out records?
4.
Who's going to get closer?
15.
11. So you're closer.
Wow.
All right, we'll keep track for this. This will be around. Tom's up 1-0.
Yeah.
Buy music.
Oh, I see we started now. Go on. buy music, I'm going to go in 85%.
90.
73. Tied up. Buy music digital.
I'm going to go low on that because they said they don't want MP3. So I'm going to go deduction. I'm going to say 7%.
I'm going to say 43.
30.
Ooh.
Tom.
Tom's back in the mix.
Buy merch.
60.
75.
87.
Fuck.
Yeah.
Tom.
Fuck one. You, Pat.
Now I see it. You just got to scammily go higher.
Scammily. I'm a professional writer.
Yes.
Scammily.
I make up words.
Design merch, art, or flyers.
Okay, Tom, why don't you go first this time?
Okay.
All right, I'm going to say 15%.
17.
18.
Ah,
3-2.
You motherfucker.
Buy zines.
I'm going to say low for that. Tom and I are waiting each other out on the answer.
35.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow, really? I'm going to go 20.
33.
Fuck you.
Yeah, big.
4-2. You're competitive. I like it. Make zines.
12.
8.
5.
Fuck you.
This says to me people need to make more zines. It's fun. It doesn't have to be crazy. This is an easy thing. If you're doing a lot of these other things, make yourself a zine. There's 300 plus more people who buy zines than make them. I promise you it's more fun to make a zine than buy one. Go to shows. Tom's up 5-2. You need to sweep to tie.
Fuck.
Go to shows.
Tom answers first.
85%.
87. 93.
Nah.
That's in the mix.
Shit. I wasn't basing my answer off yours.
The hell you weren't.
Put on shows.
30.
17.
On the nose. Fuck. For the win. Fuck. 17%. Fuck. And finally, in a band.
It's 30.
41.
36.
Mm.
Just by a nose.
Fuck you.
He's very good at cheating.
Good job. Good at cheating.
Maybe I have my finger on the pulse.
Yeah, maybe. Certainly more than me.
All right. How often do you go to hardcore or hardcore adjacent shows? These options were less than one show per month. Once a month, 2 to 4, 5 to 8, or 8+. Patrick, I believe you answered less than one.
Yes.
I believe I answered once. And Tom, I believe you answered 2 to 4.
Yes.
Where do you think was the highest percentage?
I'm going to say 2 to 4.
Yeah.
Correct. 36%, 2 to 4. What is the next highest?
0 to 1.
So the less than one show per month.
Because there's not a ton of shows.
I'd go with that.
Yeah, that's correct. 31% said less than one per month. I think there are, but I also have to remember the breadth of where people are. Right. There are places where there just isn't one show a month.
You're in Montana. You go to six shows in a year.
Maybe there's 6 shows in the summer, and then there's 2 in the rest of the year.
Right, and you divide that over 12.
I bet there's parts of Maryland where it's quite a drive.
Absolutely. Yeah, there's lots of those places. The 8+ per show, it was...
Like 10%?
Like 1%. Oh. It was we had 17 responders who were going 8+ per show. I think if you go to 8+, you live in New York City or you live in LA, maybe you could squeak out 8 per month in the Bay. Chicago. And have a very
I know a girl who goes to 8 in Chicago.
In Chicago. Sure, yeah. So you have to live in one of the major metropolises that also has a strong music scene. And you're very active in several. So yes. Props to you guys.
Yeah, actually, I should say, incredible. I'm very dismissive because the idea of going to that many shows is like too much of a social enterprise for me. Mm-hmm. But to the people that I know that travel once a month by plane to a show, mm-hmm. shout out to you.
Yeah.
That's like your commitment to liking a thing. I'm with it.
Absolutely. This is a fun one. This is do you currently identify as any of the following? Vegan, vegetarian, straight edge, or none of the above? Let's first guess the none of the above. What percentage?
40.
I'm going to say 52.
38%. Mm, very close, Patrick. All right. Overall, how many people identify as vegan?
13%.
You're saying 13, and you're saying?
33.
How many identify as vegetarian?
Does that include vegan?
No.
Separate.
Just vegetarian. It seems like everyone got that too, by the way.
40.
28.
Okay. And straight edge?
It's 13.
54.
Okay. You're forgetting the 38% knocked out.
None of the above.
So we're down to a cumulative total of 62% to divvy up.
Well, no. Right. Oh, geez, yeah.
Well, you can identify. No, there is some.
It's not out of 100. You can identify
vegan and straight edge, vegetarian, straight edge, or yeah. just straight edge. Yeah, okay. But it's not totally. So 14.8% identify as vegetarian.
Okay.
Okay.
17.9% identify as vegan.
Mm.
So we're closer
May
on
the
those.
Numbers only rise.
Straight edge, 29.2%.
Wow. No shit.
That's pretty low.
Let's do some overalls.
I thought that was high.
So for you guys, no meat. Under 20, 39%. So vegetarian
good.
Or vegan.
Good. Yo, did you see that veganism was ruled by a court in the UK yesterday as a
like a protected class, almost.
It falls into the same realm as religious belief now.
Yeah,
poppycock.
Poppycock.
So, for example, it's going to have really far-reaching implications because, for example, if you're incarcerated or something like that, and somebody and they're like,
oh, they have to,
yeah, cater. You have to accommodate me, motherfucker.
That's great. Moving to England. All right, under 20, 39%. 21 to 25, what percentage? Guess. No meat. This is vegetarian and vegan.
21 to 25. 20.
53.
62.
What?
26 to 30.
Wait, I'm sorry, Bob.
21 to 25 year olds.
So there's more kids in their mid-20s.
In their early 20s. 21 to 20 are vegan and vegetarian.
Than they are younger. Really?
Yeah. A lot of houses, you know what I mean? Yeah, think about yeah, that. Yeah, these true. Are people who, some of whom aren't out of college or out of high school.
And they're finally making their own decisions.
Starting to make their own decisions. So it peaks there. 26 to 30, no meat.
Oh, do kids sell out?
55.
30.
37. So there's a drop. That's the biggest drop. 31 to 35.
You kids forgot the animal struggles.
And we also got to remember ages, too, because it's like, oh, where were you hitting? What was big? 31 to 35.
28.
19.
43.
What?
Yep. Wow. All right. Did not expect
Shout
that.
Out.
36 to 40.
Am I just a cynic?
This is a feel good one. I feel like 25. This is pretty. Okay. 25?
47.
58.
Wow.
36 to 40.
So the olds are more woke?
Then, well, the 21 to 25s are pretty good too. I think we might have a dark age from 26 to 35.
Yeah, kids experimenting.
40 plus.
Getting to bars again. Eating
40 plus, yeah.
Little hot dogs. 40 plus.
Eating those little hot dogs.
Yeah, I don't know. It's been a while since
I feel like you could really go for one of those.
It's been a while since I've been to a bar
they
or a
should
hot
make
dog.
Vegan, what are they? The mini.
Yeah, little dogs. Mini Frankfurters.
Do you think they hand out pigs in a blanket at bars? Is that what you're.
That's what his picture of bars is. Pigs in blankets. Not even pigs in blankets, just cans of those little hot dogs.
Little hot, yeah, little cocktail weenies.
Yes, that's cocktail what weenies bars are.
All right, 40 plus.
They put them in like a, it's like almost like the peanut like bowl.
Yes.
It's just hot dogs like that. You just put your hand in, grab some.
Yeah, like that's right. That's your Saturday night. You just saw too many of those memes.
Should I just get really weird and start being like, I don't know what these degenerates are doing out here?
Get weird?
40 plus
year olds. Should I continue to be
Let's
weird?
Let's do the 40 plus year olds.
40 plus. 37%.
I'm going to say 40 plus.
48%.
Yeah.
Wow.
People find it. So I did breakdowns. All so I the age everything. Range. I'm not gonna go too hard, but under 20 and 21 to 25 is interesting.
Respect to those of you that are meat free. Those of you that aren't,
what are you waiting on?
Consider it.
Mm-hmm. Live your life. Under 20, vegan 35%, vegan straight edge 29%, straight edge 62%. So this is the under 20s.
Mm. Well, you better be
vegetarian. Only 4%. So people who are under 20 are saying vegan or
yes.
What the fuck am I doing?
Oh, right? Almost certainly, yeah.
21 to 25, you're seeing a little bit more of a mix. 25% vegan, 10% vegan straight edge, 37% straight edge, so big drop there. And then vegetarian, 16%. 26 to 30, very similar numbers. 20% vegan, 10% vegan straight edge, 30% straight edge, 17% vegetarian. 31 to 35, this is the weak group here. 14% vegan, 6% vegan straight edge, only 29% straight edge, 17% vegetarian. Mm. 36 to 40, 19% vegan, 13% vegan straight edge, 39% straight edge, 24% vegetarian.
Way more straight edge kids than I thought in this world.
Mm-hmm. Well, at least listeners to our podcast.
Yeah, that's true. Self-selecting group.
Yes. Vegan, 40 plus, 27%. Vegan straight edge, 17%. Straight edge, 37%. And vegetarian, 21%. So there's a dark age there in the 31 to 35.
Yeah. Months. People are going.
We see you.
People are going through their first divorce. Fucking things are getting dark.
All right, this one, I didn't really get a ton of time to synthesize, but religious beliefs. What's the highest? It's
I'm going with a strong nope.
The I Don't Care was this one. No, the biggest was I consider myself agnostic, neither faith nor disbelief in God, but almost tied was I consider myself an atheist, no God. Right behind that was I Don't Care, which was not, it was
that's what I
28%, 27.7%, 24.5%. So cumulatively, we're at a very strong 80% of no God or I don't care or whatever.
Yeah, I remain.
Right, no religion.
Yes.
Private, yeah.
The I believe in a higher power, but I'm not a member of an organized religion, got about a 10%.
Okay.
I'm a member of an organized religion, 2%.
Wow.
I'm a member of an organized religion, 4.5%. I'm a member of an organized religion and consider myself very involved, 2%. So,
can I give a shout out to our listeners who endure me saying things like religion is goofy and stupid when they are
strong
believers?
Yes.
I have a deep respect for you because in my view, that's the way that you are supposed to go through life, is that you don't need to agree with me and you can still enjoy this thing that I do. So shout out to you.
Shout out to people believing what they want in the face of other people not believing in that at all. It's fine. All right. What year did you get into hardcore? I went through and broke down every year that people said.
Yeah. Okay.
Let's consider this class of, like, what year did you get into hardcore, Tom?
Probably 1990, going to shows in 91.
Yep. So we'll say class of 91.
Sure.
What year did you get into hardcore? We'll say class of 90.
Sure.
You would have only been one of four. Patrick, what year would you say you got into hardcore? 95?
Yeah, I say 95 or 96,
right.
So either one.
You're a class of 26 or 28. I say 96 is class of 28. Our big boom years, 03, 65, 05, 75, 07, 60.
Wow.
Yeah, it's pretty interesting to see some of the big pops. We had three responses that got into hardcore in 2019.
Okay. Cool.
9 in 2018, 21 in 2017. We have one response that said 1977. We had a couple that were like 1844. So shout out to you guys too. I deleted your answers. Let's see here. What era of hardcore are you most interested in? 80s, 90s, 2000s, 2010s, and right now. Right now got the biggest response at 65%.
What? Really?
Absolutely. Got to think about it. If people listen to this podcast, they care about what's going
on.
Yeah, right,
I suppose it's true.
But then this was one where you could answer two.
I know. Do you ever find that to be a convenient answer, though?
Yeah, of course.
You don't want
I don't totally.
Like, I don't care about current stuff. I only know like
correct.
Shit.
I'm sure there was at least half of that that was just like, yeah, I do.
I'm
care.
Saying number two.
Yes.
90s.
Okay, and what do you say is number two?
You could flip a coin between 80s and 90s. I'm going to say people pose so fucking hard. Let's say the 90s.
We're getting into Model T syndrome here. Do you know what the Model T is?
Yes, yeah, the Ford.
It started to fall in value and interest because the people who really loved them started dying.
Right.
So then it was starting to move into muscle cars, a little later. The top two tied were 90s and 2000s at 32%.
No shit.
Yes.
2000s hardcore.
1980s at 22%, 2010s at 19%. So almost as many people were curious about 2010s as they were 80s.
Yeah, I guess. I'm buying it, I guess.
There's a lot of... It's very interesting. Because I think if this was done, even you split up the times, if this was done in 2010, I feel like people would have hit you with the 80s a lot harder.
Oh,
you know
yeah.
what I mean? So pretty interesting answer. How often do you check out new music? So the choices were several times per week, weekly, monthly, quarterly, or a couple times a year.
I'm going the majority said weekly.
Yes. Actually, the majority said several times per week, 44%.
What are you people doing?
38% said weekly for a grand total of 82%.
You know what?
Said they check out new stuff weekly or more.
They're listening to way more music than I assumed, so that only makes sense.
Monthly comes in at 13%. Quarterly's nothing. Couple times a year is nothing.
The baby got arrested.
Again?
Well, unless it's an old one.
Dick's too big.
I think
it says rapper DaBaby arrested in Miami on battery charges.
Yeah,
and then someone responded, "Why apparently. Are you stealing batteries? You got money."
Do you travel for shows? Frequently, more than six times per year. Travel shows sometimes, 3 to 5. Rarely, 1 to 2 per year. Or I do not. What do you think was the most common?
Twice a year.
Okay. Tom?
6.
The most common was 1 to 2 times per year, which is 35%. Frequently and sometimes, frequently was at 22. Sometimes, which is 3 to 5, is 27. Do not only was 14.2%. So more than half of you are traveling for shows at least 3 times a year.
Respect. Yeah.
Who farted?
That was me.
That was brutal.
Yeah,
that is just...
I ate that Indian at 1 a.m.
That was Indian rough food through choice. A dirty asshole.
This
that
is a very rough choice.
Did you attend any hardcore fest in the past year? Yes, no.
I'm saying 20% said they did.
I'm saying 35.
45-ish.
Wow.
I win.
Wow.
So,
oh my God, it's
awesome. With that, it was then answers like, if so, which one? I didn't do the whole numbers because there was people who went to a bunch. There was a lot of people who went, if you went to more than one. But even under than that, it was a very good year for Sound and Fury. Overwhelming this year, the big fest.
I would be curious to know the number. I don't expect you to do this for me, but I would be curious to know the number of people who went to multiple fests. What I mean to say is, I think the people who put on fests would be interested in the information of who.
Oh, you think they'd be interested in that?
Who went to multiple fests?
Yeah,
because that kind of answers a fundamental market question,
or where they're from, or how old they are. Yeah, that's interesting, isn't it?
But that's
all that information in like one place. It's so fascinating.
Sell your information. Okay. No. But we are not selling your information.
But that's
they know.
Think about that. You've done fests. That's a pivotal market question. If there's two fests going on within 3 months of each other, is one of them losing significant business? Are they both losing significant business, or are neither of them significantly affected? That is the fucking question of hardcore fests.
It's one of them.
I'm so curious about that information.
It's weird. It'd be like if I had a pivot table for that setup already.
That would be interesting.
Okay. I'm not going to do the how much money did you spend because it was really tough. Thank you, everyone who answered that. That was a cool question, and there was a lot of answers on that. Let's do this one. We're almost at the end here. What other musical genres led you into hardcore? What do you think was the biggest answer?
Metal.
Yeah, metal.
Punk.
They're fucking liars. These kids are liars.
Well, but I mean, punk, like, I got a CD with NOFX on it.
Could be NOFX. Yeah. Could be Green Day. Could be who knows.
Yeah, right,
509 out of the 1181, so 43%. Metal is 26.5%. I was surprised that pop punk was lower, but then you look at the demographics.
Yeah.
This one is one I want to split by age.
Because I bet you older folks got in through metal.
Then there's a wave of people who were hitting teens records in their 90s who were punk.
Yeah.
And then maybe some who were like into punk and not metal.
Yeah.
But metal, I think, had a big wave from basically like 84 to 94.
Yeah.
And then pop punk would be kids who were, you know, younger.
And then
deathcore also got a good amount of answers. All right, these are where things get really interesting. I don't want to be unflattering, but this was really fun and the information was good. Select all the bands you love.
Okay.
So this is, you can click as many as you want. So theoretically, a band could get 100%. All the bands you love. I don't think you guys remember the whole list, but it was essentially I tried to put all the classic bands that I could think of, including modern stuff. So it's like, you know, I have Bad Brains, Minor Threat, Negative Approach, AF, 7 Seconds, Cro-Mags, Rites of Spring, Youth of Today, Gorilla Biscuits, Earth Crisis, Strife, Snapcase, Lifetime, Floor Punch, Poison the Well, Throwdown, Converge, Bane, American Nightmare, No Warning, Mental, Have Heart, Title Fight, Touche Amore, Trapped Under Ice, Code Orange, Turnstile, Power Trip. Which one got the most? I love this band.
I bet there's a lot of Have Heart.
Converge was at 44%.
Wow.
Have Heart was at 59%.
Wow.
How much do you think Minor Threat got?
35.
If it's under 35, this is a wrap. I'm jumping out the fucking window.
They were number 2 at 61%.
Oh, thank Christ.
One band had more.
On there.
Of what you just said? Give me a couple more. Is people going to say Negative Approach? That'd be interesting.
Negative Approach is at 34. Oh. AF's at 28. Bad Brains only 51.
No surprise to me.
Who had higher than 61 on there?
The lowest was Throwdown at 13%.
Okay.
The second lowest, wave a little, get your handkerchief. 7 Seconds, 17%.
Wow.
Is lower than Lifetime?
by a good amount. Lifetime's at 26%.
Yo, I don't even
ironically Lifetime, Lifetime and Floor Punch tie at 26%. Lifetime and Floor Punch tie at 26%. So
that is ironic.
Strife was at Strife only got 18% love. All right, I've given you a bunch more.
Okay, is Earth Crisis in the fucking mix?
Earth Crisis came in at a solid 34%.
Love. Oh, is AN on this list? AN might be the top.
AN came in at a solid 34%.
Wow. 34?
So someone got over 61%.
T-U-I.
Oh, okay, that's
64%.
All right, fair.
T-U-I.
Fair.
Wow.
A loved band. Other ones in the high 50s I'll give. Bad Brains, 51. Gorilla Biscuits got a solid 50.
Mm.
Have Heart at 59. Title Fight at 55. Turnstile at 54. Power Trip at 53.
Yeah.
Yes.
Wait, did Power Trip?
Power Trip's at 53.
That's higher than AN, you said.
Yes.
AN's only at 34. Some other ones on the lower side. Mental at 20. Code Orange at 24.
Yo, that,
Strife. Snapcase only got a 20. Which, you know, I think we've talked about the Cult of Snapcase. Rites of Spring was at a 24. Youth of Today at 35. That's basically... Chromeggs, 47. All right.
A lot of surprises for me.
A lot of surprises. Select all of the bands you do not like. So the last wish was how much you love something. This is now a I actively do not like. So it's kind of interesting to do the flip. Same list of bands, which I'll read. Bad Brains, Minor Threat, Negative Approach, AF... 7 Seconds, Cro-Mags. Rites of Spring, Youth of Today, Gorilla Biscuits, Earth Crisis, Strife, Snapcase, Lifetime, Floor Punch, Poison the Well, Throwdown, Converge, Bane, AN, No Warning, Mental, Have Heart, Title Fight, Touche Amore, Trapped Under Ice, Code Orange, Turnstile, Power Trip. So this is an active, I do not like that band. And you can select as many as you want.
Here's a question. Do you think that... secretly, indifference won out over dislike.
I don't know.
Because, I want to say one of the top
I think
three.
A lot of people went indifferent. Yeah, one of the top three.
Converge.
Converge was a... Not in the top three.
Really?
Only 11% dislike, which I think speaks to the... If you gave me this in 1999, asshole kid would have been like, fuck Converge. At 30... Eight. Not only do I not say fuck Converge, I'm like, yo, I respect it, and I, you know, if it's on, I'm not shutting it off.
Code Orange, top three,
number one.
Oh, 30%. Where does Earth Crisis factor?
I figured that top five.
Only 14%.
So okay,
shocked.
This
was a fun question, right?
This was a fun question because Code Orange right now is the Earth Crisis of however many years ago, where. For all the love but I was so curious about Earth Crisis because so polarizing at one time and now have settled into this thing where everybody's like, cool,
old guys around.
Respect, yeah.
So, all right, so Code Orange number one, we got to figure out who's
the opposite.
Two and
three. The one who got the least do not likes was Minor Threat.
Okay.
Got only 4%. So the 52% who answered, I do not like Minor Threat. Wow. Wowza.
Wow.
You are disgraceful.
I'm trying to. So others in the upwards of. There's only a few bands who got over 20% dislike. Poison the Well got 27%.
Sure.
Throwdown got 28%. So you can kind of see. Yeah. There's some people who are not with the metalcore side of things. Touche Amore got a 26% do not like.
Anticipated that.
Yeah. And then Code Orange with the 30%.
Wait. So it goes Code Orange and Touche.
It goes Touche, Poison the Well, Throwdown, Code Orange.
Wow.
In the bottom is Minor Threat, Negative Approach, Bad Brains, Power Trip, Trapped Under Ice, Have Heart, Mental, GB.
Wow.
No Warning as well.
Wow. No surprise to me that Touche and Code Orange are
polarizing
acts.
And from these might have a large range of people who love them who are not familiar with Axe to Grind.
Yes, that's very true.
It might have a different, you know, we might, because this got answers from a lot of people who I don't believe are listeners. This is not everyone who listens on a, you know, even a almost daily basis answered this question. But in our social media, I know there are people who don't listen who got retweeted, et cetera. But when I think about it, Touche, Code Orange, they probably have larger fan bases that don't intersect with ours as much.
Yes.
So pretty interesting.
That is.
All right. Question 20 is the fun one. We're going to close here. What one band would you choose as the most important hardcore band to you personally? And why, if you want? We had way, way too many answers. I'm going to give you guys each a couple two-sided pages of them. Okay. Just pick one or two and read them, and we'll swing around. I'll do one right now.
Holy fuck.
Just, you don't have to read them all. Just pick one that strikes you.
I'm looking at the insane ones.
Earth Crisis. They were one of the first bands I discovered outside of more mainstream punk or heavy metal. I adopted a straight-edge lifestyle after hearing them, which I still follow. This also led me down the rabbit of so much more in terms of heavy music. Tom?
Mother of Mercy was the first hardcore band I listened to and saw live. I constantly find myself using them as a benchmark by which I evaluate other heavy music.
Dated two women who Mother of Mercy ranked for them.
Yeah.
Like ranked on their fucking...
Deserve a mention in the forgotten time.
No disrespect to Mother of Mercy, but the idea that they would like that would be a ranking act for you.
Agreed. That's high. But
favorite Bob band.
Bob Wilson?
Yeah, that's my favorite band.
Mother Mercy.
Yeah, great band. Too. Yeah, it's very good. But they probably have gotten forgotten a little bit, which is unfair. Read one, Pat.
I'm going to read this one. This is no disrespect intended. This person says Drain. Great dudes, better music. Sammy was one of the first dudes I met on the scene. Let me say why I said I read this. Because that seems inconceivably young to me because of my age. And I think that that's an awesome answer.
Tom, I think you
that
have
is an
one
awesome
that
answer.
I want you to read on the first page I handed you. Okay. Let me see. Let me here.
Yo, shout out to Drain.
Fourth from the top.
I'm looking at Bent Life. Shout out to these bands that to me are like very young.
Fourth from the top, so we can make this is our moment of warm feeling for you.
Okay, sure.
We're gonna reheat your Indian food, and Tom, read the fourth one from the top on there. You'll know which one it is.
I'm still pretty new to hardcore.
Nope.
That's four.
Fourth from the top.
I know. That was fourth from the top.
I mean, read the band.
It's got to be one of my bands.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, it's third.
No.
Oh, fourth.
Yeah.
Oh, that doesn't look like a different name. Okay.
It's okay.
End of the year, if I'm being honest. I spent the last year or so exploring their catalog.
Appreciate your honesty.
And I find their output as one of the more unique sounding in 2000s hardcore. Just feel like the right amount of emotion without going overboard and becoming corny, and plenty of earworms.
This was a person who is under 20.
Ah, respect. You know what?
I thought that note would make you feel... When I saw it, I was like, oh, is this some fucking dude my age or older? And when I saw it was under 20, I was like, oh, that probably feels nice.
Shocking. When I do those little live Insta live stories, a lot of the people are way younger than I would ever anticipate.
Tom, does that surprise you at all that people who go to Instagram live stories are younger than you would expect?
Yeah, no, not really. I feel like I'm the outlier for being older because I'm like, this is what 12-year-olds do.
All right.
That's how I'm chilling.
Ruiner has been my favorite band for the past decade. Musically, wow. I think they have a delicate balance between being very angry and very sad, and the lyrics reflect that. I've always appreciated the honesty in Rob's lyrics without sacrificing intensity and aggression. They tick all the boxes for what makes hardcore good, minus a few breakdowns, but I can forgive that.
Mm.
Tom, you got one you want to read?
Sure. Let's see. Anne. I love Youth Crew and Modern Hardcore equally. Anne was right in the middle and had lyrics that weren't about brotherhood, straight edge, or moshing, and that was important for me, too, as a teen in the mid-00s. They were the one hardcore band I knew that did not focus on the usual hardcore cliches.
I'm going to read one that I think is utterly insane. Tree. Mostly nostalgia, because they played a lot of shows as a when I was a teenager in Maine.
Is that Trey?
Easy to talk to, no cool guy vibes, but I believe that. Would hang out before and after shows, I believe that too.
Sure.
So we've talked about Tree on this podcast, and we are the only people in North America to have talked about Tree.
On a podcast.
On a podcast.
In the last 20,
But some of you should check it out. I bet that more of you would like it than you think.
Okay. Mind Force. Seeing a band local to my area take off and do big things is incredible. All the friends and memories from going to their shows. Most importantly, the music.
There are some answers. These are some answers, my G.
Minor Threat was the first band that I really identified with. Growing up in DC, it just clicked in a way that no band had before. Are they my favorite hardcore band? Probably not. But I identified with their music so immediately, and they were my gateway band. Tom?
H2O. First hardcore punk band I was introduced to and show I attended. Also, as I've grown older, I've seen shit come and go. Faux gang culture.
Yep.
have done dumb shit, potentially lost sight of why and what got me up here in the first place. The mid-2000s were weird, man, etc. Through my 20 years of involvement. To me, they're still what I believe this music is all about. Positivity, your friendship, stage diving, being up front, and most importantly, fun.
Tom, I got two indecisions on this piece
Sick.
Of paper.
There you go. Oh, read me
there
one.
There was a lot. You had a no lot shit. Of indecision.
There's one on here.
I tried to grab a couple.
I appreciate it.
From that.
This
and
person
these are,
says...
This is just a small fraction. There was 1,182 responses. Lots of people gave just a band name.
Sure.
But there were more than half that had responses
Paragraphs.
Of this style.
That's nuts.
Yeah. This is not a third of those.
So this person says you got awesome vocals, but I'll read the one that says, personally, indecision. They were the first band that I got... To watch grow. One of the first hardcore bands that I got into on my own from seeing them at shows. They started when I got into hardcore shows and they made me want to play shows and write. That's a nice compliment. Yeah. Also, they were from Brooklyn like me and my friends were, and we felt like they were ours. That's nice, Tom.
That's awesome.
Let's see.
Thank you.
Here's one I like. I'm going to jump ahead. Right now, Jesus Peace. Black liberation, baby.
I love it.
Yes.
Yo, there's some love for Cruel Hand Cruel Hand. I grew up in Portland, Maine, and for anyone who was in hardcore in Maine during the mid-2000s, early 2010s, will or at least should say Cruel Hand 2. They put on for our city and our scene when no one gave a fuck. Everyone still don't, though. That's not me editorializing, that's them. But they were amazing live, welcoming. They were amazing live, they were welcoming, and helped us young kids and were the scene's dad since it was so small and there weren't any OGs. So they, even being young, filled those shoes. That's all fucking true. I could go longer, but I'll finish with that. I no longer live in Maine. Congratulations. But a big part of why I still love it and put on for the city scene state has almost everything to do with Cruel Hand. With what Cruel Hand did for the other Portland. Yo, that's very real.
Yeah.
And Cruel Hand, they were trying very hard to make a thing happen in Maine.
I think they deserve credit.
Yeah, they largely succeeded.
They made an impact on more than a small handful. Speaking of, Rotting Out. They weren't my first hardcore band, but they were the first hardcore band that I ever went to see, and also the first hardcore band that I saw in real time do things to try to expand their fan base in the least corny ways possible. Sure, maybe playing with the ghost inside isn't the coolest thing, but they didn't change their sound or who they were to be on a tour like that.
Oh, who cares?
Also, I thought it was so cool to see Wally at shows that he wasn't attending. Way before hardcore, I was into scene music, and all of those people are/act like they are low-key celebrities. So you'd never see them at shows, or if you did, they'd be standing side stage, but not Wally. He'd be down in the crowd, mashing it up with the best.
Yeah, I think that's a fact, too.
Yeah.
Do a couple more.
All right. Earth Crisis. Days inspired me to think critically about my consumption habits. Carl has some true conviction behind all his lyrics. The production on Destroy the Machine still sounds awesome.
Yeah, it does.
Band's history is super interesting to read, hear about. Cabal 315 jersey is my most prized possession. Side note, Youth Today, the Kings of Youth crew, We're Not In This Alone has so much energy, makes me want to go nuts. Floor Punch is also so sick. Twin Killing is perfection.
Strong agree with some of that. Strong disagree with some of that. Let's see. Oh, there's a number of death threat love. A little bit of death threat love here.
Good one.
Let's see. Death threat.
We'll each do one more.
Being a Connecticut guy, Hatebreed got me into hardcore, and I still love Satisfaction and Perseverance, rightfully so. While Hatebreed was the gateway, once I went down that rabbit hole, I discovered many better Connecticut bands. Well, that's a bold statement. But while 100 Demons is up there, Death Threat takes it. The vocals are so different, that's very true, than anything else out there, and the band is dope. Stage dives and high fives. There is no doubt that if you're a Connecticut dude that likes a little tough but would like to stage dive... Death Threat is the fucking peak.
Just let me say, there were a lot of Half Heart responses. I'll read this one. Half Heart. Until I found Half Heart, which was unfortunately a year after they broke up, I was involved in hardcore only at a peripheral level. I was 18 and just started college at the time. I went to local hardcore shows in New Jersey, and I identified myself as straight edge. But my local scene in Jersey brought in a mix of different influences that blended in more of the Trustkill, later Victory, A Day to Remember, Atreyu, and shit like that, and even Solid State Records. The Christcore scene was as real as fuck in my part of Jersey. metalcore mosh metal influences that strayed us away from what you would consider traditional hardcore. Until 2010, I thought anything you could mosh to and had a breakdown was hardcore. But in all honesty, the only traditional hardcore bands I liked in high school were Bane and Comeback Kid. I heard of names like Gorilla Biscuits, Bad Brains, and the Cro-Mags, but never bothered to listen to because in the MySpace age of music, I had trouble finding older, non-active bands. Fast forward to 2010, I'm a freshman in college, and I randomly came across footage from the last Half Heart Show DVD on my Facebook feed, and the opening part leading into Hard Bark had me immediately. After watching the whole show video, I bought both Half Heart full lengths digitally and just did as much research and listening to interviews by frontman Pat Flynn.
Yeah, shout out to this person.
Pat's outspoken love for hardcore and him sharing about his influences both musically and intellectually had me doing even more digging into all the older stuff, whether it was Rev, Discord, New Age, and later pointed me towards Triple B, which has been my favorite label for quite some time. Bottom line, Half Heart was the band that made me come further inside the world of hardcore. I apologize for the verbose answer, but I can talk for days about how much Half Heart and hardcore has positively changed my life. Also, more importantly, Axe Grind, Bob, Tom, and Patrick, thank you so much for what you guys do. Thanks.
Ooh, thank you. I know we've talked Half Heart day and night.
Yeah.
Do you think that Pat being as welcoming a human being as he is and sincere, when I'm using sincere as a compliment, not in kind of like the way that you might typically hear me use sincere. He is a good advocate for hardcore.
Yes.
Because, he's the best ambassador you can ask for.
Yeah, really, like an ambassador type. Because let's say that you think hardcore is just a bunch of knuckleheads punching each other in the fucking neck.
Right.
Some people do.
Pat is smart, but not smarmy. You know what I mean? Like
not condescending. Not at all.
Like, you ever put a camera on me, I'm condescending as fuck. Nobody likes me. And Pat can fucking not do that. Do you know what I mean? Like, that goes a long way. So Half Heart, not particularly meaningful for me, but I understand. You know what I mean? Like, I get it.
I do wonder, being younger, how important it would have been. Like, I think for people who are the right age, if you're basically 10 years younger than us, that, you know, Youth of Today level, like Minor Threat level to many people, it seems.
Tom, I mean, I'm old, and they're of that level to me.
Okay.
I was well into my hardcore fucking
environment
that I was like, there's still certain bands.
But I'm talking, at that point, Pat's personality, the band's personality at large might not impact you because, you know.
I was already in.
Yeah, you're
grown. I didn't need his
welcome. You're a grown man. You don't need this guy to be likable or anything. But I guess what I'm saying is.
Bob's about to throw a fridge at you. So
what
was that? Tell us about Cambodia.
I guess what I'm saying is, do you think that it went the other way too? I don't run into too many Pat haters, but perhaps the fact that he's
jealous people,
clean cut guy. Like, what if you're really fucked up? Half Heart probably doesn't speak to you if you're beyond fucked up.
I don't know. I've heard some people who say I was in a dark place and it helped me out.
Yeah,
but what if I'm like,
if
I'm a gutter punk in New Orleans shooting dope.
Oh, there's the easy answer. It's that's fucking slur music.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, that's what it is. You got one more to read?
Sure.
Let's do one more. Tom's got it.
Bane. When I was 13 years old, I was in a dark place where I tried to kill myself, and I decided one night to go to a random show, and Bane was playing, and the messages that Aaron kept talking about in between songs opened my eyes up to a whole new world and brought me out of a dark place. Ever since then, I've been hooked on hardcore, and will listen to it even when I'm 90.
Oh, good for that person, awesome. And good for fucking Aaron, because I know
that dude has talked to a ton of people who know a fucking legend.
I was going to say, yes. I know too, I would never say that that's his goal.
No.
But he's so done it.
Yeah.
And that might be the only difference, is that I think the difference between Half Heart and Bane is that there might be somebody who sees Half Heart and feels that pang of like resentment, like, look at these guys.
Yeah.
They don't know the struggles that Pat's dealt with.
Anybody's struggle. That's
but
why
when you look at Aaron,
look like an asshole.
And you look at the guys in Bane, you realize like that's a weird group of guys, eclectic group. And for some reason I feel like they got along with Half Heart and like classics, you know, there was a lot of people who said Black Flag. There's a lot of people who said Incendiary. There's a lot of people who said Trapped Under Ice and Turnstile. We couldn't read them all today. We'll I'm not going to make those personally available because it was kind of private and we did read them anonymously. So, but what I will tell people is the level at which people resonate with hardcore is really nice. I hope you guys like to hear it. It's cool to hear that and hear it shared from other people. So pretty cool.
Yeah. That was really fun, Bob. Thank you for the effort on that.
Yes, and thank you for all your effort and for everyone that participated.
Let's go.
All right. Peace.